PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, my golfing friends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week is what many would argue is the better half of THP, the CEO, if you will, and resident football fanatic, or I guess fantasy expert, Morgan Babbitt, a.k.a. Golfer Gal. What's going on?
Wow, that was a whole lot of titles. I feel very special right now.
Yeah. I was driving back from Topgolf last night. I was like, how many things can I lay on her to get this episode started, to get people fired up? I thought the better half of THP is about as good as it gets.
Yeah, I like that one. I'm not going to argue with that one. Fun AKA fact,
Chick
by the
Norris.
Way. Yeah, Chick Norris. That all came from a TV show. fun fact, I have planned a lot of events at Topgolf. I've never been.
Really?
Yeah, I've never been.
So Florida has two different versions of, right? Like they have the Top Golf and then what I felt like was a knockoff Top Golf with just like stakes in the ground. I feel like that's probably an interesting question. When do we start seeing the recreations of Top Golf, considering how unbelievably successful it is?
Oh, I think we already have. I mean, didn't we? We did an event in Tulsa, I believe, at a Top Golf like place, but it wasn't Top Golf.
Topgolf-ish.
Yeah, Topgolf-ish. I can't remember what it was called. I think that they're already starting to pop up because I don't think that overall they're that they're expensive, obviously, to make, but they're not overall that expensive to create.
I thought you were going to say they're not expensive to be at because they're definitely
but they're very expensive to be at.
Did you know that Tuesdays there is half price night?
No, it is?
Yeah, so you are aware that one of the Morgan Cup members for this year, which, you know, cool name, by the way, has flown in from Aberdeen, Scotland.
Yes, he's doing like a U.S. tour.
He's taking a U.S. tour. So his current stop, actually, so we're recording this on a Wednesday. I'm playing golf with him this afternoon.
Oh, fun.
And then, so this is dropping on Friday. But so I will have already played golf. So the current stop is Cincinnati. I took him to a local place last night. So we're already in the Morgan realm because we're talking about food right now. You ready for it?
I'm ready.
So we went to this place called Sammy's Craft Burgers and Brews. Or
I
beers.
Saw the picture of the menu.
Yeah.
On the website.
So,
yeah, for him.
Heavy debates with Scooby, a.k.a. Tim, as to where to take him. He was desperate to take him to Montgomery. And I was just like, you know, Why make people suffer through what Cincinnati thinks they're good at? Let's take them to somewhere that they're actually good at. So we landed on Sammy's, which is a really cool burger spot. And they actually have a food truck that has been in my neighborhood. So they make these unbelievable burgers. And I had what the Sammy's burger, which we've had this talk. It's an if there's an egg on a burger on the menu, I'm getting it. It's like a done deal.
I was waiting for you to say that. I knew you were going to get the egg on it.
Yeah. And not to mention, if I have a question for you.
Sure.
If you go somewhere and on the menu, like you've never been there and on the menu, they label an item with their name. So like I went to Sammy's and got a Sammy's burger. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
If you go there, like, do you feel almost obligated to say, like, why would you put your name on something? I have to have it.
Yeah, I do feel like if I see their name on it, then I'm like, OK, this obviously is their signature dish. Like it has to be good. So I have to try it. Even if it doesn't even sound good.
Yeah. So it's got like a good, nice little sauce on it. It's got bacon, egg. I mean, it was banging. It was outstanding. And I knew that already. I'd had one before. But like you go down the menu, they have all these different good options. She was really hard selling the Anthony Munoz burger, which is pretty cool. there's like a fretboard burger. There was all kinds of good stuff. And what Rob ended up doing, he got like a slider thing. So we got to try three different ones. And
he
made her pick.
Oh, really? Josh does that all the time too. Yeah. He's like, what would you have?
Yeah. Well, no, he's like, surprise me. She's like, well, you can get the three. He goes, great. Surprise me of the three. So it ended up being, there's like a Juicy Lucy.
Good choice.
The Anthony Munoz. And then I can't remember the third, but anyways, it worked out great. But like I said, I feel like you go to a place with the name of the burger or the name of the restaurant on a menu item, you have to get it.
Yes. Yeah, at least once.
You know what else I got? I got Fiesta fries, which sound as amazing as they were.
Is it like what's on it?
Yeah, so
it's
basically
like a nacho fry.
Yeah, so it's fries with salsa, guac, sour cream, and I don't remember the rest because I ate it so quickly. It was so good.
Okay, so I'm all in on this, but I have to ask.
Yeah.
Were they thick fries or were they thin fries? Because I am not into the thin fries. Shoestring fries? No, thank you.
No, so they were like a steak cut fry.
Yes, see, that's what you need.
But they were crispier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although I do think a waffle fry would have been good there.
So it's not like the mushy steak fry. It's like the crispy steak fry. It's the place is good.
It sounds like it. I got
a couple boys who are going to listen to this podcast who've been here numerous times and they didn't want to make the 20-minute trip to Blue Ash to get it. I think we're going to be going there next time anyone comes in. It might be a local staple at this point.
That's like your must stop place now.
So since we're definitely all engaged and all in on food and we've somehow departed from Topgolf, are you familiar with what makes Cincinnati famous?
Yes.
Yeah. So
I have a t-shirt.
Your husband, yeah. I think we actually built a friendship on me bringing him like 10 cans of chili at one point.
I think so too, actually.
I was like really happy to just get it out of my state and he thought I was like doing him a favor.
loves it.
It's so weird. I don't get the obsession, but where are you specifically local to? Like what would you say like is home?
What do you mean? Like where I live, like my state or like the food that would be considered home?
Yeah. Like what, I guess more like growing up, like where did you grow up?
I grew up in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
Fort Lauderdale area.
Is there any food item that makes Fort Lauderdale like the place?
Yeah, I mean, I think anything South Florida in general, you're talking about like stone crabs. That's big. It's like my dad's favorite food in the entire world. And key lime pie.
Okay.
I think those would be like your Fort Lauderdale staples.
But is there like so I'll give you an example. So Cincinnati has, they say if you come here, you have to get Graders, you have to get Montgomery, and you have to get Skyline. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I was actually just talking to my mom about this the other day where I lived, but this isn't really a restaurant. There's this place called Doris's Italian Market, and it is the greatest place in the world.
So, okay. Do you say that because that's, and this is what I'm getting at. Do you say that because that's where you're from and that's what you knew? Or do you say that because everyone who goes there with you or at your suggestion loves it too?
Both.
Really? Okay.
Both. Yeah. So like we moved to North Florida and no surprise, I belong to a lot of like the food Facebook pages because I'm always trying to find like restaurants and like places to go and eat. And anybody who's from South Florida posts on these Facebook pages, I wish we had a Doris's. I miss Doris's Italian Market. So it's not just me and like my memories from childhood. Like the place is legit.
Yeah. So we were sitting there at dinner trying to explain Skyline Chili to this poor soul who's from Scotland. And yeah, every avenue that I was concerned about, like it's not a spicy chili, it's actually kind of a sweet chili. And his face just kind of turns sideways. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly the problem.
I actually think a really good way to explain it to somebody would be, especially somebody who's from like Europe, would say it's more like Greek chili, like because it has that cinnamon kind of warm tone to it. So that's how kind of I would explain it. Think of it like the Greek meat in moussaka, I believe is how you say it.
So it's the Greek's fault is what you're saying.
I'm not saying that because it's delicious, but I would say that I would lean more that direction.
So it's not delicious. I think you're selling a false bill of goods there.
Well, the Greek one is.
It's quite disappointing. Oh, we're talking about Skyline. So yeah, anyways, I guess they'll have it today. I've avoided it. In fact, I might have said like I don't want to be a part of it just in general. So I'm like working a half day today, you know?
Right.
But circling back to like the thousand things that got us here, it's pretty awesome that a guy's come here for like 3 weeks.
He's amazing.
Traveling the United States. He was in California already. Cincinnati for the next couple of days, then down to Louisville, then like 10 different other places. And then eventually he's going to make his finally, after 3 years, thank you, COVID, trip to experience the Morgan Cup with THP and Cobra Puma. It's been a long time coming for him. And I did tell him last night he's obligated, once he's completed this journey, to come on the podcast and tell his story a little bit. What is that experience like from your side of things, since you are the one half of the reason why that exists in general? Like, it's got to be pretty neat to see that.
It's incredible. It's honestly kind of touching to know that somebody would travel that far to be a part of an event that we created and that we're putting on. Like, to me, that's really special. And we've had it a few times where people have traveled pretty far to come to THP events, and it's always moving to me.
Yeah. I remember David Kelly from the UK. I remember Hassler Cadies, who I believe came from
Netherlands, I think.
Finland? Yeah, I think he's Finland. And wore pants in 95 degree North Carolina weather.
I know.
Psychopath.
Oh, that weather was so bad.
So we've seen it all. And yeah, I just think it was really neat to bring that up and mention it as we sort of made the circle around to Topgolf. So we all ended up at Topgolf, and I think they have pretty good food there. I was not agreed with, so we didn't actually eat there, but we did have a delicious mule. I do enjoy those. And then about an hour and a half of half price range session, I guess you could say.
I had no idea that they did that, but the food there is supposed to be pretty good. It's actually like created by a chef.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's pretty reasonable pub fare. Like, it's not,
It's bar food.
Gourmet.
No.
It's what you'd expect. I think they took it off the menu. They used to have tater tots that were like, they had some jalapeno and cheese on them and some other stuff. Yeah, I would go there and very satisfied when I ate that. And then the mornings, they have an awesome burrito.
Ooh, breakfast burrito.
Yeah.
That's my jam. I love breakfast burritos.
Is there any reason not to have a burrito in the morning? Like,
no.
If you had to pick a single food in the morning, would it not be a burrito?
Every time, especially if I'm traveling, I always look for a breakfast burrito.
Really?
Yes, I love breakfast burritos. FYI, yes. Chick-fil-A has a great one, and yes, Wawa has fantastic breakfast burritos. Their little chipotle whatever sauce, delicious.
So I wouldn't say converted, but I've encouraged a number of THPers in my travels to participate in the Chick-fil-A frosty coffee and burrito experience in the morning. And it's changed some minds.
Changing lives across the country.
Yeah, it's huge. Well, we did the Bourbon Bash a couple weeks ago, which, you know, once again, THPers getting together because the forum, the community exists. Just had a great time. It wasn't necessarily THP shit sanctioned, but it's one of the many encouraged gatherings we've had throughout the years, and we love that. So I had our good buddy Jeremy down, and encouraged him, forced him. I'm trying to pick the right word. Recommended to him.
Recommended.
And he ended up getting the chicken bites, and he had significant regrets.
Weak.
So, yeah.
So disappointed.
Yeah, so it's Topgolf. I don't know how I was going to circle back on that, but I do love seeing the different types of people that are there. And you could tell as soon as we arrived, we all brought our golf bags. And there was a group of like teenagers beside us, and they see us walking up and they look at us and they go, "Yo, are you dudes like professional golfers or something?" I was like, "Are you guys like professionals?" I'm like, "Yeah, this is basketball, right?" And he just looked at me like I had six heads. I was like,
"Well, sure.
That breaks that ice." And they said, "Were you going to teach us how to play?" I was like,
"No.
I don't know if you know this, but this costs us money too when we come here."
Are you going to pay me to give you a lesson? Because otherwise, no.
It was really funny. But, you know, just walking up and down the aisles there, and I would imagine the half price night encourages people who are less interested to go out.
I'm sure.
Pay a fair bit less to experience it, but it's just so cool. You have the kids, the parents, you have you clearly date nights, you have the boys all going and getting together. It's just fun to see the variety. And I think that shout out to Callaway Topgolf, that partnership, and for getting the game connected to so many different people.
I do too. I think it's done wonders for the game of golf. And while I've never personally been, I do think that when you hear about it, like I've talked to so many women who go with their significant others who normally have no interest in golf at all, but it's a fun, like you said, a date night. It's something fun that they can do because there's no expectations. You're not out there expecting to play well. You're not having to worry about playing from different lies. There's no sand traps. There's nothing like that. You're just getting out there, hitting the ball, having a drink, having some food, just hanging out with friends. It's an awesome social experience. Yeah. I can't talk today.
And they have drinks that come in cups that are light up. So if
that's true too. Who doesn't poorly. Like a light up cup? Come on.
And I've also heard the desserts there are good, but I've never participated. You guys did an event with I think Cleveland, right? Where you did a Topgolf.
We've done a couple of them. Yeah, but I know the
Jamie Sobolowski was there.
Yes. The injected donuts, though, that's always like the big thing.
So let's talk a little bit about you and your involvement in some of these events that we've seen. Like THP has, we started with what effectively was a big giant, I guess, party at your house.
Yeah.
And that's branched its way into these just unbelievable experiences that people go on. And there's one happening right now. UST is partnered up with you guys to take a couple guys to a Dormy Network Club, mm-hmm. Get fitted for brand new, I believe, Callaway drivers this time around with awesome UST Mamiya shafts. We've gone from, you know, something that just brought people together to bringing people together in a condition that they would never typically get to experience. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that's unbelievably rewarding, but what has that transition been like from year one, which was many, many moons ago, to now?
Oh, geez. Okay. Well, I still remember, I have to give credit to Josh for all majority of this because it's his brainchild. Like it's his ideas. He's the idea person. He just kind of comes up with these crazy ideas. And then most of the time I shoot him down the first time. So I'm like, that's insane. Nope, we're not doing that. And
I was going to say, I don't mean to interrupt, but you had painted a lot of sanity into his madness, like really early on in that thought. And then you kind of circled that with the crazy and insanity. And I think that pretty much nails our good boy Josh to a T. The madness he comes up with, I'm glad it's mostly at you, because when he talks to me about some of that stuff, I'm like, whoa, slow down.
Right? Exactly. I'm always like, slow down. Those are my exact words. I'm like, slow down. Take a beat.
Anyways, please continue.
Because I remember he's like, I think we should get a bunch of people together and they should come over to our house and then we should go play golf. I'm like, what? You want like random strangers from the internet that we've never met that could be serial killers? You want to give them our home address? You want to let them come over and then you want to go play golf with them? I'm like, are you crazy?
I'm in.
Right? And he's like, yeah, I think it could be really good. I think it'd be a great way to like have people meet each other. I'm like, this is insane. And then like, I always have to take a minute myself because my immediate reaction is just like, hold on. Because I have to process things a little bit longer, which I guess is a good thing for the two of us. And then I'm like, okay, how about we do this instead? And I'll usually like, let's tweak it this way so it makes a little bit more sense. But yeah, that was kind of crazy and nobody died, which was good because I really was a little scared about that. Nothing was stolen. Like I didn't know what to expect, you know? Mm-hmm. And then it started to evolve and we're like, okay, the biggest thing for me as I've watched the evolution of the events is obviously the involvement with the companies, the courses getting better and better as far as like quality of courses. And what I mean by that is just like the full experience where you kind of like, you really get treated the way you should get treated, like a tour player should get treated, you know, cause it's kind of how it's gone. And for me personally, as we've continued and done more and more events each year, making them smaller, that is like the biggest thing. And Josh and I, we disagree on this a lot often. Cause he's always like, let's do 30 people. And I'm like, no. First of all, it's a logistical nightmare on my end, but it is. It's absolute nightmare. But I think that it takes away from the intimacy of the event. And it's probably not the right word, but I like it when it's smaller because I feel like the group themselves can bond. They kind of like feel like they're part of something special and people get to know each other better. They can spend more time with the company representative, whichever company is there, because it's a smaller group. So they have more one-on-one time versus when there's so many people, it's really hard. So I feel like that's been the biggest evolution. And just watching the excitement, because before people were like, I don't know, because like the normal reaction would be like, meet a bunch of random people from the internet. I don't know. And now there's like genuine excitement. And it's not weird by any means. I don't know if I just went off on a tangent or if I actually stayed the course here.
And that's funny. Well, the name of the show is Off Course, Morgan. So
yeah. Okay. Well, good. Cause I think I went there.
I remember because the Morgan Cup has changed a number of times into its current condition of two teams battling, and it's Hose versus Yags, who, you know, credit to them for being such crazy additions to that component of the whole experience. But
and they totally embrace it, which is so awesome.
Yeah, I think they're more emotional about beating the other person than anyone else because they have to live with it for the next 11 months and, you know, however many days of their life. So, I mean, that part of it was cool. So I remember we started at a small number and then it grew and then the teams grew. And then I think we gave up after five teams were a part of the Morgan Cup, which is the craziest experience ever.
I mean, it made for really awesome pictures.
Yeah.
It really did, but beyond that, I still have nightmares of that. I mean, it was awesome, but from my side of things, it was not easy.
And shout out to True Blue in Caledonia for being such a cool host for that experience. And then the Morgan Cup changed a little bit. Cobra got involved. We saw this awesome rivalry get built between Hose and Yags. Went to unbelievable courses like Hag Point, an experience I'll never forget. Experience we're not sure if Yags will forget or not.
I will never forget. I still have a video. I still have a bloody video.
And now we're in what year is this even? I don't even know.
I that's terrible to say and I should know, but I honestly have no idea.
Yeah. So
maybe 10. I mean,
it's just cool. Like you see it evolve and change in positive ways, and no doubt in my mind, the engagement that this company has given to each individual member every year is something special that they get to take away. And in fact, credit to those boys for showing up and playing golf with Harletto, who's the current U.S. traveler, eventually making his way to the Morgan Cup. They sort of surprised him by joining him for a round in California before. And these are guys taking time out of their world to do that.
Yeah.
From the industry. And I think that's what makes it so special outside of what you're speaking about, which is creating a course experience that they wouldn't normally have and, you know, giving that tour level opportunity to just enjoy and be a part of a company like that.
What's interesting, too, is I think that another part of the evolution as the years have gone on is company involvement, because I think that as we've done more events, the companies, either somebody's already been there before so they know what it's like, or they followed along so they see what it's like, and they're, instead of being like, okay, I'm just doing this for my job, like they're genuinely excited, like they want to be there. It's not about it being a chore, like it's something that they request half the time, like, we need to do this, I want to be a part of this. And that's really exciting to see.
Yeah, we got a taste of that from the granddaddy too. I mean, you see the pulse on how those guys want to get involved in the Zoo crew, that Callaway team that takes on Team THP every year. It's really fun to see that even internal rivalry to get involved in the process. And then you see the smaller events, like we just spent some time at Ballyhack with Finley and Austin Tudor. And you could tell they were just pumped to be there playing golf. I mean, Finley didn't look as excited as Austin to play in the rain, but
yeah. Does Finley ever look truly excited though?
Yeah. Well, I mean, when he's
I love Finley
over his head. Yeah.
Yeah. But he doesn't always show a lot of emotion.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So when it comes to the actual locations, I mean, you guys have upped the ante every year in sort of ridiculous ways. It started from what courses are well known to what courses can't people get on to. And now we're at experiences like Dormy, where I think when I went to that event with Callaway, we were like one of 30 golfers on the course at that time.
Yeah.
So what's that evolution been like for you?
I'm sorry, but my dog is trying to jump off of a chair and if he jumps, he's going to break his leg.
It's all good.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, just about the evolution of the course selection and the just overall experience on that side. How has things changed from, you know, 10 years ago? I sort of structured it in this way. It used to be like what courses are really well known in the area to what courses are very prestigious in the area to now it's like what courses are almost untouchable in the area and how do we get on them?
I think you kind of nailed it in that sense. It was, you know, because when you're starting out, you kind of have to prove yourself a little bit too. But then as you evolve, then you can start getting into the courses that are a little bit harder or just the courses that are more well known. And then it kind of becomes more of an experience. Yes, there's the wow factor of certain courses, but we're looking at it from a whole experience, not just the golf side of it. So that's where things like the Dormy Network comes into play, because you're not just getting awesome golf where there's 15-minute tee time intervals. So most of the time, there's not that many people on the course. You shouldn't be waiting around too long, but you get 5-star services if you're in, like, you know, some 3-diamond, 4-diamond, whatever it is, hotel, even though it's not a hotel, but it's the same kind of service, level of service. And then you're going to get food that's out of control. Like, it's so good. And it's, you know, and they'll build us anything that we want. So, like, I'll work with the food and beverage manager and we'll come up with these elaborate dinners, like a lobster. And so it's everything. It's
she
not
says like a lobster.
Well, I don't even like lobster. Lobster's disgusting, but people seem to like it. So,
oh, that's great.
But I think that's what it is that it went from being all about the golf to being all about the experience, if that makes sense.
Sure. And I've noticed this deep investment in making sure the whole process is something to remember. So
yes,
I like to joke, and you've generously brought the staff into town a couple times to connect and brainstorm and create, and we're always like, hey, let's just grab a pizza, whatever, and you guys are like, no, it's gonna be awesome. You know, just like mentally speaking, a lot of ways we get in these grooves where it's just like, let's just make sure the experience is good from like an engagement standpoint, and then you guys go, well, let's make sure that is the case, and we make the experience with food just as remarkable. That's one of my takeaways that I've experienced. This is not like, it's not like you're departing. It's not absurd, but it's like, you can very much feel that connection of involvement from you from arriving at the destination to leaving the final day, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. Well, we just, how do I word this? But like, we just want it to be special. Like, I don't want it to be, anybody can plan a golf trip and you can go and go to these courses, but I want it to be so memorable that when you're done and like you go somewhere or you think of something or you see something or you eat a meal or whatever, it brings you back to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I want it to be that memorable and be that meaningful that other experiences in your life will bring you back to that. If that makes sense.
Yeah. And you know what I think? It's neat because we, every time, if you're not familiar with the THP community forums, every time the THP has an event like this, especially at like Dormy, which we're seeing some wonderful repetition there at the incredible properties that they offer, you get this conversation going. You can see people getting excited, like expectations keep getting raised. So, you know, they arrive and personally having experienced Ballyhack, when they go back there, I love that feeling of like, oh, I remember this. Oh, I remember that. And then I can say, oh, my food was better. I liked my dish better. Oh, you guys got lobster.
Yeah, exactly. Like I was the big in that room.
I think that part's really cool about it too, because it gets people involved, not just from a golf perspective, but also from the alternative components. And normally that was like, all right, who's playing cards in the evening and who's drinking too much?
Yeah, exactly.
So now we get the food part too.
Yeah, because it's more like, I mean, I've always been fascinated with the fact that guys have this ability to be like, oh, do you remember back in like 1994, we were playing such and such course and like the fourth hole, it was a dog leg left and I hit the ball, like, you know, and you guys have like this amazing memory of that kind of stuff. And I don't get it. You can remember like every shot from every hole, from every course you've ever played of the last 30 years. So I want to create that kind of experience, but not just for the golf, like for everything.
That's cool. So I think the other big question I would have from a planning perspective is golf has no doubt experienced a massive boom over the last couple years. That has to have been extremely challenging for you when it comes to planning and creating remarkable experiences. Is that fair?
Yes. It's been like a nonstop migraine. Like, that it's been really bad. And it's one of the main reasons that we switched and joined the Dormy Network, because it made it a lot easier, because we would sit there and, you know, Josh and I would divide and conquer and we'd be contacting course and they're like, oh, we're booked for the year. We don't have anything. We're completely booked. And then you find a course and they'd say, okay, great. Yeah, we can take you. But then you start calling restaurants or like their on-site restaurant or their lodging. We don't have any of that. Nothing's available. And so it really became difficult, because it's not just a playing golf. It's playing golf. It's having the right accommodations. It's having the right food. And we could never get them all to align. It was impossible. So we did have to start shifting course to see, no pun intended.
That's fine.
To figure something out. So yeah, it's great for golf. It's great. It's fantastic. We love it. But it makes planning events very, very difficult.
Yeah, I've experienced that a little bit myself when we have these small conversations and with my friends, especially locally, like, hey, let's go to Pinehurst or let's go to Whistling Straits. And you start to look into what it takes to actually get on it. It's like, oh, you can book for 2024.
Yeah, exactly. You either can't get on
or you're 2024.
Right. Or you're paying like three times as much as you paid last year. And that's crazy, too. And that's another part of the THP experience, is that, you know, we try as hard as we can to keep the cost reasonable for the participants. And when but when golf rounds all of a sudden at like a good course, but not like earth shatteringly amazing course, is like $250 or $300 a round. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's not feasible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're all feeling that. Golfers everywhere are feeling that.
For sure.
Crunch right now. The price of golf is very challenging. You know, I'd love to see it where, because the problem is, I think, Morgan, is they're filling up so easily
that
they have no reason to be thoughtful.
I know.
And I think that's the worst part. I keep looking back on this and I look at it to my course a little bit and think, you know, there was a time when you really badly needed us, the people mm-hmm. who genuinely invested. And there could be a time again, you know, maybe golf is on a 20-year boom. Who knows? But in 5 years, if it starts dying down again, you know, you're going to lean on, right?
Right.
It's going to be us again. So
yeah, we had the same thing when we were living in Nashville, the course that we belonged to. When we signed up, before we signed up, there was no initiation. And then by the time we signed up, there was a small initiation. And then all of a sudden they tripled the initiation and they raised your dues. And they used to have this thing with food where you could get 50% off. Well, they changed that to 25% off and raised the prices of food.
Wow. Like,
that's outrageous.
So, I didn't know. I remember coming and spending some time at THP HQ doing a bunch of video work, and I was always super appreciative of the idea that they would mark those prices what they did, because you'd feel like you're getting a huge discount. I mean, you're paying for it inevitably, your membership costs, but I mean, that's pretty awesome to see that kind of value. And then for them to change it completely, that's so hard on the membership who's been there for a while.
Well, this is what happened. So the people who had been there for a long time, they revolted. They all stopped going to the restaurant. It used to be where you couldn't get a reservation if you didn't book like a week in advance. You could walk in anytime and just get a table now, because the old guard, we'll call them, the people who've been there forever, were like, I'm not doing this. I'm not paying these rates. This is outrageous. I'll go eat somewhere else. So they all left, and then the restaurant was completely empty.
Did that change or they continue?
we left before.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But wow. At the time that we left, this had been going on for probably 4 or 5 months and the restaurant was still empty.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I had a question that associates with that too, because I know you did an event at Bluegrass, which is where you guys were in Nashville. I have this weird thing where people come in from out of town and I encourage them to come and play my golf course, and I'll take them to dinner afterwards at the golf course. I take the experience they have very personally, and not to say like if they have a bad time, I'm offended by that. I'm saying that it's almost like I have ownership in the experience they get. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I have two questions for you. Number one, is that how you felt at Bluegrass as an example? And then secondary to that, is that how you feel for every single THB experience that happens when you set everything up and the reactions that come from it?
Yes and yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's such a brutal thing, right? Because you want everyone to have an unbelievable time, but then you can't stop. Like, in my case, if I say order this and they order something else, I'm like, well, that's on you.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's on you. I can't help you there.
You hit into 13 bunkers in 3 holes. It's not my fault, bro.
No, I told you aim left. You aimed right. Like that's yeah.
It's a dog leg left, bro. Not right.
Exactly. But yes, absolutely. I think that I take it very personally. I probably shouldn't, but I do, because it's like you take pride in that. And so you want everything to be perfect. Even if you didn't cook the meal and you didn't mow the grass that day and you didn't you didn't do any of that, but it still feels very personal.
So when it comes to a place like Dormy with their numerous properties and this level of expectation that they've set and we've experienced at this point, has it gotten a little bit easier each time for you to have that confidence that it's going to be a great experience? Or do you feel the same way as you would going to a random place in, Chicago?
Okay. So it's so much different. It is like a breath of fresh air. Like I can literally feel like the tension in my shoulders release. Okay. Because I have one, maybe two contacts. We've lined everything up. We talk about it the day before. Like I know, they know, we all know everything's going to be done perfectly. We don't have to worry about it. And it's the same person every single time. So I don't have to worry that this next person at this next course doesn't quite understand how we operate or doesn't understand, or there's some sort of a communication error, because it happens and it's understandable, but it happens. But if you continue to deal with the same people, then they understand you, you understand them, you have this ability to communicate and everything gets taken care of and you just don't have to worry. I mean, I'm always going to worry. That's just who I am by nature, but it's so much better. Much better.
You talk about that and I can think about at least 4 people who specifically said to me, I'd love to go somewhere, but I don't want to plan it.
Yeah. Planning's a nightmare.
and I can't help but laugh because I'm in that boat. Like, just tell me where to go and who I need to pay.
Right.
Or just come to my house and I'll buy you Chipotle or something.
Or Sammy's. Chipotle.
Yeah, there you go.
You get Chipotle or Chick-fil-A. Pick one.
Yeah. Yeah. Breakfast and dinner. You're welcome.
Yeah.
I want to talk before we wrap this up about your experience just in golf in general, because you see the activity, you are the behind the scenes editor of a majority of the work that goes out, from our writers. Has the release experience changed at all for you over the course of a decade? Is it any different now than it was then? Do you feel any sort of way about it, or just business as usual?
No. The last 6 months to a year has been weird. We talked about this on the Worst Golf Podcast, where it used to be like we'd get tons of notice. Here's something new that's going to be released. Here's all the information. Take time, get your article ready to go. Now it's like day of, night before, like, hey, we forgot to tell you, we're releasing this tomorrow. Here's all of the information. And then the worst part is like, we'll know things are getting released and we'll be like, hey, is it still on time? Like, where's the information? But everybody is so busy right now, because golf is so busy right now, that things are just being done last minute and it's super stressful.
Okay. So you went off course there and I love that.
Oh, did I not answer your question
at
all?
Well, not really, but I think it's cool. Like you're speaking about how the companies are reacting to everything right now. My question was more about does any of that interest you? And has any of it ever interest you? Are you curious the way we are?
No.
So like,
being brutally honest, no. Like I'll see certain clubs and I'm like, oh, that's pretty looking, but like the no. Absolutely.
What about
not.
Like the non-club types things, like apparel, or like I know you're really into athletic wear. So does any of that apply for this? And when you see some products that you think Josh should probably be wearing, which is like every single Cloudspun ever, you know.
Well, because Cloudspun is amazing.
Does any none of that really get you going?
No.
Interesting.
Yeah. I feel kind of bad saying that, but if like full disclosure, no.
Well, no, it's fine. Like we all digest the game differently, and I have a wife at home who feels much the same as you. I've been begging her to get new clubs, and I think finally she's actually open to the idea of it, but she just doesn't care. She's like, can we just get new grips? I'm like, that's ridiculous. So
I mean, but grips are important.
Yeah, well, hers are pretty gnarly, but that's a representation of the age of the clubs.
Yeah.
And we have a sister who could probably use a set, so... You know, we're doing the right thing here, I swear. And at least, well, I have something to buy for Christmas. Thank God.
We actually pulled, when we moved, we pulled my clubs out from the attic. Like, that's where they were at this point. And like, I'm not even kidding you. I was like, oh, let me like grab a club. Let me take a swing. The grip like disintegrated in my hand. It was so bad.
Gross.
It was disgusting. It like literally was like just leather, like just rubber, like just, it was gross. It was like just everywhere.
I'm picturing clubs like cobwebs on them. They're going to be out for Halloween as a decoration.
Yeah, I'll put it to you this way. I got a fitting at Golf Tech back in 2000. I want to say it was 14, 15, something like that.
Okay.
And they told me what shafts I needed. Those shafts are still in a box. They never got put into the club heads. Those grips that disintegrated were the same grips that were on the original shafts back in 2014 or 15.
Now, here's the real question. This is like the back in 1994, that dog like left story.
Right.
Do you remember what shafts are in the box?
They're pings. Something about, no, they're ping clubs. No, I don't know. I feel like something had to do with ping, but I don't remember. No, uh-oh. I don't.
Man,
they're silver. That's gonna... No, I really don't. I don't remember.
I don't feel bad for you, but I'm also incredibly humored at how you've nailed us as us being the male golfer madness, and then you're like, yeah, whatever. But you still are around the game, which I think is cool. You know?
Oh, absolutely. And I love watching it. And mm-hmm. I did play. Like, I genuinely did play for a while.
But even when you guys were in Nashville, I don't know if you're still doing it, but when you belong to a course, you'd go out with JB. You guys would you'd walk the course at least, so because you're into exercise, which, you know, that's weird. But you also like to putt, which is pretty cool. So is that continuing for you guys? Or
It's really been a busy schedule for his travel, so we haven't done it. But it's something we probably will do, especially as the holidays come around and he's home more and the weather here is so nice in Florida. But we loved that. Like, that was a really good time for us. That, while it's funny because like golf is our work, that was really like our private time. That was like our nice quiet time where we could just like let loose and enjoy each other's company and enjoy just being outside and on the golf course. And didn't matter how many bad shots we hit, it was just fun. We just really liked it. So we'd only play like 5 or 6 holes. And sometimes I'd take a couple shots here and there too, but they were with his clubs. So it was difficult because we have a bit of a height discrepancy. So I had to like choke way down on the clubs, but it was still just a little bit. But it was just fun. So I think we'll do it again. We just haven't since we've moved because of travel.
Well, you know, shout out to the fact that you called out your time off, because I don't know if you folks realize that, and I know a lot of people from the THP community are listening. You guys invest so much time in not just the experiences, but also the forum itself. I mean, you were on the site first thing Saturday morning, refreshing some numbers for the Q4 experience. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel that to my core. And then, you know, last night at 8 o'clock, we get a note saying, hey, you know, something's goofy with the forum, and you're immediately on it, you know, it's not the 9 to 5. And if if I can corner you here right now and make you feel super awkward, I do want to thank you on behalf of the community for giving us your time, because you do offer up way too much of it. But it is deeply appreciated.
Well, that does mean a lot to me, and thank you. And no, I don't take compliments well, so yeah. that is awkward.
So we'll sit here in an awkward silence for about 10 seconds and then we'll continue. Yeah.
But no, it truly is a labor of love. It is. But I will say, and this is the honest truth, about 6 months ago, I said to Josh, no work talk for the first 30 minutes in the morning. No work talk. Because we'd get up and we, you know, the first thing we do is start talking about like, what do we need to do today? What are we going to, you know, what's this? And I said, no work talk. First 30 minutes of the day. Go ahead.
He's already put in like 3 hours worth of work by the time 6:30 rolls around. So
I know. So he's like, yeah. So he's like, let's talk about blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no. I need coffee. I need quiet. I'm going to walk the dog. When I come back, you can talk to me about anything work you want. But until then, I need to like decompress. Like I need no work talk. Just for 30 minutes. It's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
Because you do have
to separate.
And
then Sunday, right?
Well, yeah, obviously Sunday.
the football fanatic. How is your season going? Fantasy football?
I don't want to jinx it. Knock on wood. It's going pretty well, though. I lost one game so far, but I'm playing my nemesis, Chris Koski from Adele Golf.
It's his birthday today. Do you know that?
It is? No, I didn't realize that.
That's what the forum says. I could be wrong.
Oh, I'm going to have to send him a text here in a minute. But no, I didn't know that. But I'm going to have to send him something nasty because I'm playing him this week and he's my nemesis. He crap talks me because I don't want to get bleeped constantly. Constantly. He's always sending something trash talking.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you had suggested I had a fairly good draft. I don't typically play. And then it was like a preseason rank of 2 out of however many teams are in the league. What, 14? Is that right?
14, yeah.
And then I went on 0-3 streak.
Did you really?
Yeah, I had 110 points minimum every week and lost for 3 straight weeks.
That's just bad luck.
And then I finally beat our good buddy Matt Dawson thanks to Evans from Tampa having an absolute monster game.
So you kind of got screwed though because you lost him for a week because of the suspension.
Yeah. Well, I've also lost. I drafted Taylor like any sane person would do first overall.
Yeah.
And but he's had 2 really duty weeks. So
yeah, true. And he's hurt, but he might play.
Yeah. So we're on the recovery part, but I have a question for you. Do you get really heavy into waiver wire and trades and all that? Or do you just stick with what you have?
Okay, so years past, I was really heavy into the waiver wire, but I'm pretty happy with my depth right now. So I haven't even really looked at the waiver wire much. I've looked at a couple of defenses here and there because my defense is not as good as I thought it was going to be. But trading, yes. And in fact, I have I'm not going to call it funny. I'm not going to call it sad, but a story. So I made a trade with forum member Marmil, and it was a super fair trade. It really was. We both talked about it. It was very fair. I traded Cordarrelle Patterson and Gerald Everett, and he gave me...
Yeah, those guys. I know them.
Yeah, you know them. Okay. No. He gave me CeeDee Lamb and Tyler Higbee. So it was fair because he really needed running backs, and I had a ton of depth of running back. And then like 2 days later, Cordarrelle Patterson hurt his knee in practice, and now he's on IR, and I feel horrible. I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't know there was. Yeah. It happened after the trade, but I still feel terrible about it, especially because CeeDee Lamb had an awesome game, which I'm pretty sure is part of. Well, actually, I was going to win no matter what. My opponent crap the bed last week, but I think he put up like 76 points. But still, at least Gerald Everett had a good game, so I don't feel as bad. But yeah, I feel a bit, I just feel bad because you never want to trade somebody and then they get hurt.
And that, folks, is the one and only time you'll ever hear Morgan even remotely vulnerable about fantasy. Every other moment, she is Chick Norris, the rage pile.
Yeah, basically. I think I threatened to fire James like 4 times if he wouldn't fix the game.
Well, Yeah, it's been super fun having you on. It was kind of a weird week. We've got some really cool guests lined up, and you stepped in and said, I don't know what fun we'll actually have on here, but you kind of killed it today, Morgan. I appreciate you.
No problem. Yeah, I said, I was like, I'm super boring. I have no idea what I could offer, but I'm happy to come on. So thanks for having me.
Yeah. Do you have any questions for me before we go?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot.
Yeah, that's what I do.
I'm not good at those. No, I don't have anything right now.
Yes.
You know, like as soon as we end, I'm going to be like, oh, I should have said that, but yeah. I got nothing right now.
Start a thread. It's fine.
Okay.
Anyways, everyone have an awesome week. If you haven't tuned in already, join Morgan and Josh on the Worst Golf Podcast. They do what they try to be a weekly. You never know when it's coming, but it's always exciting when it does. It's been a really fun addition to the THP Radio Network. So go check them out. If you are playing golf this weekend like me, enjoy the plugged aeration disaster, death, hate, whatever that you're
picture.
Dealing with. Yeah,
that
it hurts.
Was brutal.
That wasn't
hurt
mine. That was a Google photo. I have not seen the damage done to my course. That's actually occurring now.
Oh.
Again, I'm very upset at Harletto for choosing the very day my course starts murdering itself to come and play in Ohio, because I would have loved to take him out to my spot. But either way, if you are playing golf this week and have a great time, I will chat with you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.